Today's first reading is taken from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, and can be found on page 637 of the Church Bibles. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. And the second reading is from 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 15, which is on page 1163. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
Good morning. I don't know about you, but there are lines in certain hymns or songs that make you come to a reflective halt, an emotional semicolon in your thoughts, a full stop in your spirit, rather than, at that moment, the word on your lips. The first time that happened to me, I was in a Methodist youth conference, and we had to sing hymn 399. You see, I even remember the number. Take my life and let it be. Consecrated, Lord, to thee. A declaration not very comfortable to a bit of a wheeler-dealer schoolboy who had three after-school jobs and kept his half-crown earnings stuffed in old Brill Cream jars. Lately, and we dwelt on these words at the gathering this month, and if you've never been to the gathering, the first Wednesday of every month, you are really missing something, for God has really been moving there. Are the words from Blessed is the Lord. You give and take away, you give and take away. But my heart will surely say, blessed is the name of the Lord. Three things challenge me when those words come up. First, God gives and receives back. Second is the personal response of the heart. And thirdly is this powerful, but I believe underused or underexplored attribute of our relationship with our Father God, a deeper and more meaningful understanding of what it is to be blessed by God, and in turn, to bless others on his behalf. So, the releasing or freeing experience from an open-handed understanding of giving and receiving. Our heart's response, or the condition, if you like, of our heart. And thirdly, the personal affirmation from being blessed, and in turn, our opportunity both to return that blessing and very practically bless others. Embracing a richer understanding of those three centered actions are central to how we approach today's message on giving and stewardship. Then, to build on this foundation of this morning, Simon will next Sunday share his vision on how we can together take the church forward, both to equip us to meet our kingdom responsibilities to our community, while having the means to demonstrate God's presence out there on the path past our front door, where each day, right now, while we're inside this wonderful monastic building, the world literally right now is passing us by. So next week, Simon will begin to outline his vision on how we can be equipped to grow as a church and to make a difference. Well, we've already been challenged this morning by those two very powerful exhortations from Scripture. Firstly, those words from Proverbs. Honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Then in the second letter to the church in Corinth, a letter in which Paul prepares to be more vulnerable after his rather strident demands in his first letter. But he becomes vulnerable in this second letter to the church in Corinth. And he makes a comparison that whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, but out of the heart we should be generous people, giving cheerfully and not reluctantly or under compulsion. We have an outrageously generous Father, an abundantly generous God. He has given and continues to give beyond human measurement. We simply can't outgive God. He began by giving us a creation to live in which defies human words. We sang about it in that first song this morning. If we can't be uplifted and commune with him by simply standing in this creation, from the grains of sand, the snowflake and the hummingbird, to the breadth of the horizon and the galaxy beyond, and still not unclench our hands and lift up our hearts and heads, then we desperately need a new perspective, a new revelation through the power of the Holy Spirit on this outrageously generous God. A God, a Father, who has called you and me as individuals by name into his presence. He created us. He gave us free will. He called us back, and he wants us to walk with him in this incredible creation. And how does he call us back? But through yet another outrageously generous gift, the ultimate one on our human scale of understanding, that of his only Son. If we are awed by a Father God's extravagance to us, then we too must respond to that pattern he sets. If he has freely given, how do we freely give? How do we currently mind the gap, as they say on the tube, between the supreme example and our self-centered response? In Matthew's record of the Sermon on the Mount, this powerful, penetrating, sweeping speech, Jesus addresses the issue of the heart. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where thieves do not break it and steal. For where your treasure is, where my treasure is, your heart, my heart, will also be. I'm sure that is what the writer of Proverbs meant when he says, our vats will brim over with new wine. If we desire expansive hearts, a wider channel, if you like, of the presence of the Spirit of God, then the principle of giving and receiving, opening up those channels, is absolutely fundamental to an open-faced relationship with God. An open-handed understanding of giving and receiving, a heart's response. All these actions together, figurative or physical, create, then develop and mature an engagement with God. The Bishop of Oxford, Bishop John, in his pamphlet on giving, this is it, there's some at the door if you would like some scriptural background to what I'm talking about today. He points out that one third of Jesus' parables were about our relationship to wealth. But the emphasis is not how much we should give or to whom, but about where our heart is. Our comparative Western world wealth makes it, he writes, hard to trust God. And that, quote, there is a real danger that wealth dulls our spiritual appetite. Now, here at COGS, we are committed to being a giving community. We endeavour to pay our full parish share to the diocese. We tithe our giving outside of ourselves. We prayerfully review and commit to supporting both mission in the UK and overseas. But we can't do that unless all of us as individuals within the community, that is the body of Christ here, doesn't prayerfully commit also to that biblical intent. Now, I touched on a number of stories concerning obedience to giving when we looked at the year of Jubilee last year, the Queen's Jubilee. And the principles behind the release of the Jubilee year and the obedience and blessing that comes from tithing. To give a tenth of what we have, to give a tithe, is an instruction in both the Old and the New Testaments. Leviticus puts it beautifully, calling on every tenth animal that passes, as he puts it, under the shepherd's rod. Abraham gave not just a tenth, but a tenth, we are told, of his choicest spoils. And the Bible suggests that generous giving should be a priority rather than about spare change. Prayerful, an act of worship and thanksgiving. Planned, but not prescriptive or legalistic. Proportionate, realistic to our income. Communal, for the needs of others and with others for a common purpose. Sacrificial, reflected in our lifestyles. And as we read, cheerful, given as an offering to God. In Paul's letter that we heard this morning, the church in Corinth was told, each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you, and here it is again, every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. Now, I am hugely sensitive to the challenges in front of us when we consider giving sacrificially or moving towards or committing to tithing. I mentioned previously about our personal journey on tithing in the 1970s with three small children, a 3-day working week, and a crippling 13% interest on the mortgage. But God saw our heart's intent, and we eventually got there. I remember people such as David Smith just coming alongside me. He may not remember, but he used to drive over to Abingdon, where I worked, to take me out for lunch and just nudge me forward with words of encouragement and prayer. And I remember we were talking about Mr. McCorber's sort of, you know, 19 shillings and sixpence happiness and, you know, 20 shillings and sixpence and unhappiness. And I said, but this is what we're left with, David. And he would say, but look how much you have. So we were nudged and encouraged to go forward. Now, I think many of us believe we are seeing a new dawn in the work and presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. We, you and me, have been apprehended for such a time as this. It's a phrase worth grabbing. We have been apprehended for such a time as this. But we have to commit as God is committed to us. We have to bring our talents, our open hands, our hearts, our time, our prayers, our transparency, our desire, our gifts, our fruit, and our giving, so that we do embrace all God has for us to receive, and then to do in and from this place. Will we apprehend God's presence? Will we respond to God in every way as he passes through this thin place at this time? Will we be obedient in giving as we want to be in hearing and receiving his Holy Spirit? Will our characters match the doing part of this engagement? Historically, we know this is a special place. We know that, as the Celtic Christians would say, this is a thin place between heaven and earth. History says God has always wanted to move in this place. And he has. Again, go and talk to David Smith. The beginning of the 1970s, when a group of us was seeking what God was saying to the church in that day, and the power of the Holy Spirit, we turned to Howard and Ruby Cole here as the vicar at COGS, because things were happening here and they weren't happening in many other places in the UK. Are we in tune at every level to be apprehended for this move of God? So our characters are just as important as our charisma. The journalist Ruth Roberts writes, if there are thin places on this planet where God's presence is felt more keenly, then for me, there are thin people who point me to Christ. If we have a thin place between us and God, between heaven and earth, do we reflect that as thin people? Our characters are just as important as our charisma. Personally, I find spiritual history, the move of God in this place, extremely important in my walk with God. I find this building a very special place, a place to come and meditate, pray, worship, and be soaked in 900 years of God's presence, 900 years of prayers of the saints. My grandparents were married here 100 years ago this year. My grandfather and his father before him were shepherds on the farm. When we opened the farm as a museum, we used my grandfather's shears to cut the ribbon. But it wasn't a ribbon. It was a thick wool strand which we wove from the wool of a Cotswold lion. You should know what a Cotswold lion is if you live here. It's a sheep, obviously. My grandfather had three of them. This is the middle one, by the way. There's a small one, middle one, and a very large one. So these are his shears. My father, brought up in a two-up, two-down mill worker's cottage, was educated by the Wesleyans, the great Christian blanket benefactors of the day. They gave generously in their generation. Move on half a century, and we too became benefactors with many others, including a few in this place today. When we gave sacrificially to create the King's School in Whitney. Families may live in the good of that today and only have a measure of understanding on how that came about. But that does not stop us all being challenged to ask in this day, what is my response to having open hands, a responsive heart, and to be a blessing for the sake of the continuing advancement of God's kingdom. Just because we did it once, or did it twice, or several times, doesn't mean we retire to the stands. None of us can say we have run the race, played our part. There is no retirement in the kingdom of God. I remember being at the funeral of Freddie Roberts, a dear friend of mine who died at 89, who in his 80s would never stop pursuing God and bringing a word in season. He would come up to you and give you a prophetic word, give you a vision, give you a picture, give you an encouragement. I said at his funeral that he burst through the finishing line just as Paul had encouraged the church in Corinth. I'm constantly challenged by David Smith for not settling for what was once in this place. He hasn't settled for the former glory, but desires to be part of the now, bringing a word in season to us as a church or as individuals. So can we catch a vision for what can be achieved through our commitment? Many of us may not be aware that the warm floor that you are standing on, the chairs you are sitting in, the sight lines and the flexibility of space surrounding you, the sound and vision you are experiencing, are all because many here today responded to the vision to make this a wonderful space which could fuse the spiritual history of a 900-year-old church with the practical needs of the 21st century. Many of you may never have even seen that document. There's a few sitting over there. If you'd like that, the 21st century challenge on what this is looking like now, because 4 years ago it never looked anything like what you're seeing today. And so we press on. Move forward. Extending the kingdom. Is this threatening? I'll put it there. extending the kingdom through our commitment. As we prepare to be envisioned for the next step that God has for us, we need individually to review how we support the work here. Only 1/3 of the church family give through standing orders. Could you, in having a desire to see the extension of the kingdom in this place, consider moving your giving to a regular standing order? And if you already give by standing order, when did you last review that? I know the statistics, so I'm going to repeat that. When did you last review that? And if you already give, please think about, if you give on a weekly basis, could you think about giving in the gift aid envelopes? Because that is a wiser thing to do. Perhaps you are moving tentatively as a step of faith to giving more regularly. If so, be encouraged and know that God will honour that step of obedience. His heart is to bless us. I run with a constant vision of a farmer ploughing a field. It is a picture that I believe is God-given. If you plough the middle of your field, and for whatever reason, fear, lack of passion or zeal, laziness, or perhaps until Simon speaks next week, vision, you do not plough up to your borders, God can never open the gate to that bigger field in your life. And he wants us to have a more expansive life in him. A deeper experience of him. I know that Simon wants to rid us of the word small. How should we respond to an outrageously generous God, but with open hands and a responsive heart? Then the barns of our lives will be filled. The vats of hope and expectation will overflow with new wine. And the dreams of God opening the gate to a bigger field to plough, however you desire, need or expect that, will be fulfilled. So let us engage. Let us work together to experience the expansion of the kingdom of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, both here in this special place and in the life beyond the Lich Gate. Amen.
Thank you, Stuart. That was fantastic. I'm glad you've taken that scary implement away. I think it might be good if we could just sit for a minute before we go into the final song, just to reflect on what God might be saying to each of us. And as Stuart said, this needs to be our heart response in terms of giving. If you're not a regular member here, this doesn't apply to you, so please don't feel that's for you. But it may be that you just need to reflect on what Stuart's been saying and allow God to speak to you. So we're going to have a little bit of quiet just now as we sit in his presence. Father God, we so want to be generous. We so want to be a hilarious giver. Lord, would you release us in those places where we might be stuck? Amen.